Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Friendship Frontier. Today I'm reflecting on the difficulty of making friends as we grow older. If you feel like making friends nowadays isn't as easy as it used to be, I think you're probably right. I can feel it. It's not as easy after the pandemic. It's not as easy when you work from home. It's not as easy when I'm not as active in my community or I don't have a faith group. I literally may have no accountability. Well, wait, that was until I just declared my situation to you just now. Some of what I'm talking about today can seem negative if we approach it that way, but stay with me and enjoy quickly the less than positive, and then we'll shift into the positive, enjoyable, and doable, okay? I'll offer some solution, as always, and a couple of tips to make things easier. This lack of friendship, lack of community, presents a huge back door open for many people. I'm a solo ager. I live alone. As a solo ager, I love my independence, but it can backfire, and I know it. As a professional who works in the aging population, I've witnessed the backfires. A client has no support in a time of need. A patient is caught short by not having built their team. That gives way to conversations like, well, I don't have anybody to talk about this stuff with. No. Nobody looks in on me. Nobody's checking on me. Well, yikes! Why don't we just prop the back door open and invite calamity and debacle right in? As we grow older, lacking friendships presents a vulnerability. All of us can have our back doors open relative to having enough friends and becoming more emotionally healthy and supportive. I'm friendly, I think to myself. I'm fun. I consider myself to be approachable and willing. But I have to admit, I need to work on this friendship thing. Do you? Oh, there's lots of work friendships and acquaintances that I've built around this or that. My work has me interfacing with people across the United States every day. I've just never been much on maintaining the best friend, or a few best friends. Since I packed up and moved to another state, I'm now not only lacking, but I do see the perfect situation to do something about the number of friends I have. There's this cognitive dissonance within me. That's a term meaning discomfort stemming from two different beliefs or values or attitudes. I'm conflicted. My insides don't match my outsides. And that's a motivator for me. I'm uncomfortable. Some days, I experience some reticence to pursuing friendships with other people. Do I want to go stick my hand out, make the effort? God, it's just like being four again and being shoved into preschool or that kindergarten class and immediately reduced to that Maslowian feeling, what's going to happen to me? Those of you who know me will hear me professionally prescribe that we have to work to maintain this valuable asset called friendships, if only to help us when we age, help us in terms of duty or task, errand, but also for emotional support and emotional help. The joy factor is going to bring the gravy. The joy factor brings in the happiness and the fulfillment. We've been through a pandemic, and we are all aware of the isolation and loneliness data that came out of that. It was either data or that we've lived it in real life. As somebody who lived alone during the pandemic, I can attest, it was very hard being my own pod. After the pandemic, research by Brigham Young University found loneliness to be a major threat to longevity, on par with smoking half a pack of cigarettes a day or being an alcoholic. Studies have shown that people who are lonely or socially isolated have a higher risk of impaired immune function, higher risk of depression, dementia, and death. Let us also note that in May of 2023, our own United States Surgeon General declared a loneliness epidemic. All that is scary. Let's talk about the solution and the more pleasant side of friendship pursuit. All healthy friendships can help us to age better and cope with the challenges of life. And it's been proven that healthy friendships are a proven method to win. Now, I'm not talking about just avoiding the negative. I'm not suggesting that we live our lives and take action to avoid awfulness. I don't like living my life to avoid something terrible. Rather, I want to move towards something that enhances my life. I want to get the goods. I want to get the feel goods. So let's look at the positives. Let's go for that. Let's talk about the positives and how pursuing friendships is a way to overcome that negative. Because Nancy wants to celebrate. Nancy wants to get into the solution. Because y'all know that's where I like to live, is in the solution. Why would we want to make and maintain friendships? Well, it's good for the mind and the body. Just as loneliness can hurt our health, friendships can actually improve it in far-reaching and sometimes surprising ways. Studies have found that socializing can strengthen an immune system. It can help us recover more quickly from illness. It can lower blood pressure and the risk of heart disease, sharpens memory, and it even helps us get a better night's sleep. Socializing can also improve our odds of living longer. According to one study, people with strong connections to friends or family had a 50% greater chance of outliving those with fewer social ties. What's more, friendships can motivate us to adopt healthy habits. I read a story recently about a fellow named Marshall. Marshall was working out at the gym, and he reported, one day I met a man in the locker room who used to be a gymnast when he was younger, and we hit it off. Marshall went on to say he gave me pointers on working out, and one day a week we'd do supersets together. That's when you do 3 exercises in a row without stopping. He said, I also started lifting more weight because other friends were encouraging me to do that. I was lifting more than I ever would have on my own. Friends can also help you keep your health off track. It's friends and family who care about you enough to remind you of the things that we need to do, like the mammogram or the colonoscopy, annual physicals, or even eye exam. They may notice when we're developing a hearing or a vision loss or are unsteady on our feet. We may not realize that until somebody points it out to us. Maybe I'm pointing out the obvious here, but benefits like these remind us that we need to move towards it. I think to myself, great, great, this is all great. I get it intellectually. I understand. Still, there are days that despite this obvious benefit, I can still put up a fuss. Yeah, me. I can be reticent. I can push back on the very thing that I know will benefit me, even with the prospect of harm. What's up with that? Best we get into some solution right away, because Nancy needs a W. Nancy wants a win. Here's how to get into a well-friended state of feeling. First, we have to be proactive. As has been mentioned, it's gonna take a little bit of pursuit on this one, gang. A little bit of effort, a little planning, or just looking at how we can parlay what we already have going on. It may be helpful to realize that we'll have friends coming in and out of our lives, all of our lives. When we think about friendships in our lives, hadn't that always been the case? People coming in and out of our lives, and they're moving and changing. and we're moving and changing, let's figure out how we can maximize what we have and embrace what we have and what will come. Part of that begins with just thinking about it like this. Secondly, be optimistic. I don't have to tell anybody here about the advantages of a positive attitude on anything that we might undertake. I employ optimism and some logic. Since we know happiness is contagious, well, friendships can be also. We got something to give here, and something to go along with the receiving that we're getting, and that we're looking for. It's all very likely. We've done this before. We did it in grade school. We did it in clubs. We found friendships, and so we know we can do it. So that optimism can and should be in place. The next thing is make a list. As an exercise, write down the names of 3 to 5 people that we know and with whom we would like to be a little closer. Then reach out. Try sending them a text or an invitation for coffee. Or share a memory or a photo. Ask a question. You know, as those friendships are coming in and out of our lives, we can often reach back and rekindle. Welcome a reconnect. You're already ahead of the game. There's been a connection before. Your list of 3 to 5 may include someone new. Perhaps there's been someone you met recently in an outing and kind of sort of felt like there was a little something there to be heard. Has there ever been anybody that felt that? Could they be on your list? Reach out. The next one is branch it out. Don't limit yourself to one close friend. We've already acknowledged that friends are coming in and out of our lives at different times. Then there's that old saying, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Come tomorrow, we may need different friends at different times. We may need multiple people for various reasons. Studies have shown that. Having a few good buddies can really make a difference. A 2020 Northern Illinois University study of middle-aged women found that those who had 3 to 5 friends reported higher levels of satisfaction with life. Expect awkwardness. There may be some awkwardness or awkward feelings about what I'm talking about today. That's 100% normal in my book. But it's no reason not to try expanding friendships and expanding our circles. As a matter of fact, awkwardness is often what brings people together. When I was new in town, I met a friend named Margaret, and we were both headed for a meetup group, and we met in the corridor looking for the event. We both had that not certain look. And I asked this lady, are you looking for the meetup group? And she said, yes, are you? And then it was, I'm Nancy. Hi, I'm Margaret. And we chatted just a few minutes and entered that meetup group and began to meet more. It was much easier having had a W, having had a quick woman. But do you see how the bond of awkwardness can create and propel you and the other person forward? We've made that story our own. Oh, that's how you two met? It's the kind of stuff that sticks with you forever. When we tell the story now, and we will to other people, even when we're at separate events or when we're networking together. Yeah, I'm going to go to meetup groups and other new situations, and it sure is a lot easier when you have that win. A study by Northwest showed that we tend to overestimate how awkward a first meeting should be. One researcher put it into perspective when she said, the other person doesn't want an awkward conversation either. Talking will get you both out of any awkwardness there ever was. Margaret and I are proof positive. The next step is put some time in. Back to that grade school experience when we were thrown together in the same room for days on end. We made friends. Sometimes the durations are, they work in our favor. like a school year or semester, or the duration of a class, or the length of an outing. Making close friends takes time. A study at the University of Kansas found that reaching friendship level takes 200 hours of time and over several weeks. And that's exactly why you and I receive so much encouragement to volunteer, or to take a class, or to join a faith group. Repeated actions will build in the time for you, the duration you need, and you can focus on getting the most out of the people while you're there at that activity. Embrace vulnerability. Oh, let's talk about being vulnerable for a moment. Vulnerability is a cornerstone to a friendship. It's both a benefit and a scary thing for many when they start thinking about it. People will shy away from investing in relationships and creating friendships because they're afraid of being vulnerable. Yet, if we turn that around, it's one of the very best things about a close friendship is to be able to be vulnerable with that other person. And I'd add one more benefit along those lines. What about the absolute gift of someone being vulnerable with you? That trust. That's a high honor. Well, here's a nifty little exercise for us to use when we're moving forward with strengthening and deepening our relationships. It's called highlight, lowlight. Highlight, lowlight goes like this. In your exchange, you can ask somebody, what's been the best part of your week? And then, while you're in conversation, you can follow up with, what's been the most stressful? Those highlight, lowlight prompts and the exchanges that follow will broaden your knowledge of the other person and their knowledge of you. Highlight, lowlight places you both on the road to friendship. And the last thing is practice. Like anything we do, we know we're going to get better at it if we practice. I don't know about any of you, but the pandemic coming back after the pandemic was in a word weird for so many. How do we gather? Where do we stand? What do we say? And for a while there, was it, do we fist bump or do we shake hands? We had to learn some social etiquette all over again. But you know what? That was some of the awkwardness that we can acknowledge and talk about. That became the subject, the opener for a while. We would demonstrate respect and diplomacy as we entered into conversation and ascertaining what distance the other person preferred. How courteous we were. While we were doing that, though, we were leveling the playing field and allowing each other to respond with respect about how we thought about it. Now, this practice thing rings true when you think about it. If the same four people sat around the same table for days or arrived at the same event at the same time regularly, or for a meeting, or for first grade, or for faith gatherings, if those four people did that at the same time, the conversation would definitely go beyond, how's the weather? How about this weather? They would move past that eventually. If these two or four or 10 people are there for the same reason, then the conversation becomes easier. Commonality is shared. Frequency is back. And frequency is your friend when making friends. People begin to be recognized, or they're recognizing others and initiating talk. Even if it's small talk, it all becomes easier. And we know the benefits. Some of us will now have to rethink some preconceived ideas about making friendships. It seems odd to have to break it down and think about it, and then go out there and do it, but by gum, we've all done it and managed to live through it, huh? I assume you all made it through the first grade. But do think about this. And we have those skills, you and I, intellectually and emotionally. We can understand the benefits. especially as adults and those of us who may be aging alone. I'm motivated to make friends by already knowing that I can and I have. I've done this before, and I can again. You too. Maybe we need to get a little selfish about it. Maybe I should tell myself, Nancy, this is for you. This is good for me. The studies are there. And I'd simply like to point out that all this stuff is so studied. I've cited at least 5 studies in this segment, and one was, wait for it, a study of studies. Now, I'm gratified and even inspired by the fact that I don't really have to go to too much difficulty to increase my health and wellness in this way. So I'm going to set a goal right now before you and with you. Will you do one of these with me? I'm going to choose one of the actions that I talked about today. I am choosing to begin with make a list, that make a list technique. I'm going to write down the name of 3 to 5 people that I'd like to know a little better, with whom I'd like to become a little closer. Among those on my list could be a friendship I'd want to rekindle. I am going for this friendship meeting. I'll have more on this topic too, because it remains a big growing concern for all of us. But right now, it's time to flip that lead domino to take some simple action to do what I already know how to do. How about you? Thanks, everybody.